Do we have any people coming with the vans today? He's wondering if they are the same people coming every time. Because he doesn't seem to think that you need to come every single time the van is available. You need to spend time practicing yourself. Practicing is about helping yourself, assessing yourself. You need to come see the masters or teachers just only once in a while just to check whether you're doing the right thing. But the most importantly, you need to practice by yourself, spend time with yourself. And if you find that you're stuck somewhere or find some problems or obstacles, then you need to come see the teachers. And you need to occasionally check with the teachers whether you're on the right track. Or you get stuck in some extraordinary state of mind, like being with in the blissful state for a long time. Or get stuck in some states that seem to last for quite some time, it seems permanent to you. There must be something wrong with that, because it's in conflict with the Buddha's teaching. So you often check with the teaching whether it's still on the right track. Just now, did you know that your face and all your mind turned to pay attention to the monks walking in? Some people didn't turn their face, but the mind already shifted to the monks. So the most important thing is being aware of your mind. Because the mind can fall, can yield to temptations all the time. The temptations or desires lead you to formations and fabrications. When lusts or desires arrive, your mind shifts to the state of a hungry ghost. Or when your anger consumes you, you turn into a monster. Or when delusion is so strong, you're just like any other animal on this earth. The desires we usually experience are first wanting something to happen or to gain something. Wanting it to last or to stay for a long time. Another is to want something to go away. All these desires, wanting to have something, making the mind running around through all the sense doors. Or even to think, you want to think of something pleasurable. For example, when the mind goes out to these doors for indulgence, even to think, sometimes you feel the urge to think. You're wanting to see things. When you see something you don't like, you want it to go away. When you smell something nice, you want to smell this forever. So all these desires can lead to wrong views in conflict with the Buddha's teaching when all things are impermanent. So when you want something to go away, the wrong view you often get is that things is under your control and you want that things can possibly be disappeared forever. So in our normal life, we usually face with wanting to see or not wanting to see that this and all that. Want to smell nice, want to get rid of the bad odor, want to feel something nice in your body. And when the mosquito bites you, you want it to go away, you don't like the itching. You forget about your the cause, but because there's mosquito, then that's the itching, that's the biting. You just want it to go away without observing. Well, when you meditate, you want to gain peacefulness and calmness. When you practice, you want to do it the best you can. You detest defilements. You want to get rid of them. And you want to do only good deeds. In fact, when you do insight meditation or vipassana meditation, both good or bad are equal in terms of its nature. The rough or the delicate state of mind are equal. But in terms of, in aspect of morality, the wholesome or unwholesome are not equal. But when you practice, you just treat them equally. They're just one phenomenon. Just one phenomenon coming up, rises up, and then it will eventually fall away. Even all the desires or distastes that you have when you're in contact with senses or perceptions, they are all the same. So sometimes when you feel jealous or envious of other people when they submit the homework and they can see something so delicate like your mind vibrating in the middle of the chest, that envy would just come up and go away eventually. So either wholesome or unwholesome mind comes up and goes away, just the same. Our job is to take the mind to experience all these phenomena often. Until the mind accepts the truth that this is this nature of appearing and disappearing by themselves are applied to everything. But we still need to keep the moral codes, because in society, in the world, good and bad things are not equal. There's laws, for example, you need to abide by the law. But when you practice, the bad or the good feelings are all the same in terms of the three characteristics. So let's learn about ourselves. When the desire comes up or goes away, just know so. Same as aversion or delusion. When they arise and when they disappear, we just observe that. So the opposite things would happen alternately. One moment you are lost in thought, another moment you are mindful and you are aware. It would happen alternately. So just keep observing the changes of this alternation. Just pick one pair that happened to you most frequently. For example, when if you're easily lost in thought, when you pick lost in thought and being mindful. And if you feel angry easily, just pick anger and being mindful. Just observe these things happen ultimately. So the mind is the observer, is the knower. So we just observe the things that happen, and then the mind get to see them, like aversion, or delusion, or desires. Those are the things that the mind come to know, and the mind is the knower. To see whatever you have or you can see, what truly exists and present at the time. So, for example, if you're feeling angry right now, just observe the anger rises up and fades away. And if you feel angry often, just observe the anger when it comes up and when it goes away. You don't even need to pay attention to other pain.
You
just see the mind changes. When the defilements are with the mind and the mind gets to see it,
or
when the mind is being aware and the defilement goes away. Bring the mind to experience all these changes. And soon enough you will see that everything is impermanent. All things changes all the time. And it's beyond your control, so that's not you. This feeling, this phenomena aren't you. You can't control them. And eventually you know that there's actually no self in everything. There's no you really. It's because you don't see the disruption in the continuity. You don't see things changes. You misperceive that there's actually yourself. And it's permanent. You are the same person when you 1 year old and the age you are now. So mindfulness brings that gap, that break. So you can see the impermanence. We need to often check with the scripture with the teaching of the Buddha. Because there's so many dhamma out there, especially on the internet, and we don't really know which one is truly correct. Most of the time, it is not the correct teaching. The Buddha teaches us that the mind, also impermanent, it comes up and it goes away as well as other things. Even for an arahant, even when the mind of the arahant is very stable, the mindfulness still intact all the time, the mind of the arahant in other aspects still change and impermanent. Sometimes the emotions of bliss or joyfulness happen to their minds. Sometimes an equanimous mind happens to their mind. So there's still some changes. And sometimes they don't feel like they need to go out and observe the world. They will just observe the nirvana state within themselves. So some people just take certain points of the state of nirvana. Just focusing on the point that it's permanent and think that everything is permanent and aiming for that. So it's off track from the Buddha's teaching. Even though many masters use different words for nirvana or the full enlightenment state, the truth about nirvana state is that it's boundless. And because it's so broad, there's no movement or there's no need to move, the mind doesn't need to move anywhere, so it's stable. There's no longer any hunger for the mind to seek or to search to feel the fulfillment. So there's still calm, peaceful. And because of there's no hunger anymore, the mind is pure. So before we get to that point, we need to bring the mind to experience all the changes. And think of it under the theory of the three characteristics, that everything is subject to changes. Everything is impermanent. Bring the mind to see that all the five aggregates, even the mind itself, are subject to suffering. But we normally think that the body can bring you either a good sensation or a bad sensation. So you think that you can still find some happiness from that, when in fact, in reality, it's also subject to suffering. And eventually you become dispassionate about all the senses, all the perceptions. You don't feel the need to go out and search to make yourself feel good through indulgence. And eventually you also see that the mind is also subject to suffering. And by then, you will reach the full liberation. As long as we don't come to that full understanding, we are still stuck in the cycle of rebirth, because the mind still goes through all the fabrications and formations. So when we practice, sometimes the mind gets tired. So you need to know when you need to take the mind to rest and when you need to take the mind to learn about yourself. And the wisdom will arise by itself. So don't aim for the result, but aim for taking the mind to experience and learning and come to the understanding by itself. So practice diligently, because the world, life, or our countries are getting more and more restless each day. Either the politics or economy are getting worse and worse. Even the weather is bad. It's not appropriate for us anymore. We don't want it to rain, but it rains all the time. And when there's not enough rain, you wish for rain. So the climate change. And that's the lesson from the nature. He's asking, what's the noise outside? Is it chicken noise or a shower noise? Now just have you noticed that your mind move to that noise? So your face didn't even move, but your mind moved already. Did you notice that? So the mind moves through all these sensors. Just keep observing, keep noticing that. It moves on its own. Okay, so Q&A session. Who's telling her that she's over-focused? Whether she knows that, if she knows that she's over-focusing, it's good. Did you know that your mind wandered off? Most of the time when the mind wander off, they know only the thought, the story of the thought. But what we need to know is the movement of the mind. She's trying to ask for forgiveness as a tradition, but Lompa said it's no need. But it's a good thing to feel that or to try doing that, because that means you realize your defilements and brave enough to admit it. Yesterday, Lompa suggested her to keep the mind. Keep the mindfulness intact while she's chanting Buddha. She's trying that. This person got feel haziness when he was doing the sitting meditation. And Paul said most of the people who do the sitting meditation got haziness as a result because they're doing the wrong thing. Most of the time it's because they control themselves too much or they let go of the mind too much. This daily she sees things to feel dispassionate about what you see. Longpa said, you're doing the right thing actually. You're supposed to feel that way. You will come to the state where you feel dispassionate about things and everything seems to be in the distant. So all the suffering, all the defilements can't really reach your mind. So that's on the right track. You're over-focusing right now. Then you feel tightness in your chest. Just know that it is happening right now. While she's doing the sitting meditation, her focus or her attention goes down to the hand, cratering. So that means that the mind moves out of base. So either it goes to the hands or it goes to thinking or feeling any other emotions. It's okay, just know so. So if the fingers move and you know that, it's mean that you're practicing mindfulness. So the key word is to being aware of the mind. You are practicing much, much better. What are you doing right now is good. But you need to notice when you're over-focused or control your mind too much. Don't allow it to last too long. Be aware of that quickly. Sometimes it might make you feel happy or comfortable or light. But most of the time when you over-focus, you feel tightness, feel heavy. So allow the mind to work, to function naturally and know it's so. That's the right way. Now you go off thinking. Did you know that? It's very good. That's it. This person listened to the CD or his audio tracks for 4 months. Seemed to her that the world or the troubles getting more and more distant from her mind, from her heart. She's not sure whether she's controlling herself too much. Longpa said, if her mind in her daily life is like this, she is controlling herself too much. So let's try breathing in and out and feeling the mind getting back inside yourself. Bring the mind back with the breath. That's a tactic to bring the mind back to the base. So try breathing and feeling the mind being with yourself. Don't try to force it or pull it back because it's going to make you feel tight in the chest. She said she feels that she's controlling lesser than she was before. And Paul said yes, but still, even a little of control is not good. It's not a bad thing. It would happen, but just not so. So it's correct that you feel that the world going out in the distant is correct. But you need to know if you're forcing it to be in the distant. Don't do that. It has to happen naturally and on its own. Don't try to keep it in the distant. Longpa is telling us that he doesn't really feel well today because he got some vaccinations yesterday. It's kind of tiring him. This is the first time for this person. She used Puto while doing the breathing because she's very busy mind. She's not sure whether she's doing it right. And right now, what she's doing is not correct because she's trying to suppress herself. Because she's feeling very excited and she tried to suppress her mind, her excitement. So just breathe naturally and bringing the mind back to base through the breath. Just do it naturally and you will eventually come to see that you can't control everything, anything, and there's no self. Your mind just wandered off thinking about what he was saying. Did you know? Just know often, being mindful often. The problem is the mind is off base. So just find some object, some technique that will bring the mind back to yourself. Don't try to force or pull it back. Just give it a cause to come back. Wander off again. Don't try to fix that or force it to stop. Just observe that it does that by itself. Now it's your too tight, yeah? Because you are over-focused. Just observe what's really happening right now. Seeing the truth. And don't focus on one object, because then you would get samadhi. So let the mind move. She used the mind as her object of meditation, the mind movement. She has lots of anger. She said she used to have lots of anger. Lumpa said, no, you still do. You still have lots of anger going on. So just observe that whenever you have anger arise, suffering happens right after. And eventually your mind come to understand that anger brings suffering. And then you try to let go of the anger, try to rid of the anger. And the strength of the anger with faith, soon enough, the quantity or the times the anger arises would reduce. Because the mind learned to understand that anger brings suffering. And Paul said he used to be angry easily. Even when the light or the sun hit his eyelid, he got irritated. What she's practicing is correct. Her mind is still at peace, but right now she's over-focusing. So she said she knows, and that's what she's doing right. She knows what's going on, truthfully. She's a newcomer. What she does is breathing meditation. And now she's doing the mindfulness together with that. Rinpa said her breathing meditation still has a lot of delusion involved, but she will feel hazy, feel dull when she does that. Now he asked her to try doing the breathing. Okay, she's doing right. Okay, that's it for today.